Well, good morning. Welcome to Pathways Podcast.
Episode 35.
Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you joining us. And I'm joined once again with Marcy Milburn.
Yeah.
And we have a special guest later on the podcast. So glad that you're joining us. And I hope everybody's doing okay out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
It was good.
Good?
Yeah. Yeah. We had our spa group this weekend and finally got to meet in person and had everybody over to our house and hung out in our backyard for a while.
It's funny how if you have a gathering now, you feel naughty.
I know, right?
You're like,
what are people going to think? What are all the neighbors going to think when they see the cars?
Yeah, I know.
No, it was good. It was good to get together.
Yeah, no, that's great. And that's happening more and more and more and more. And I think, you know, I mean, we as a church, we continue to, you know, kind of be mindful of the numbers, and you know, I think it's worth mentioning because I don't think a lot of people notice this, but so when I look at the numbers as far as, you know, Iowa is concerned, I know nationally it's a little, you know, there's different interpretations, but I just continually see the tests going up.
Mm-hmm.
The number, the positive staying low, but you look at like the hospitalizations and everything like that, and you just see those numbers continuing to go down.
Yes.
And it's just, you know, very, very few people are actually in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, very few people are actually, you know, like in intensive care and things like that. So that's all good news.
It is.
And but, you know, I mean, it's still, you know, just praying for people out there, just continued blessings on everybody as they go about their lives. And you know, but I do think that, you know, with the more readily available testing, you're going to see positives go up.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like it's, you know, your recovery rate is pretty high,
mm-hmm.
but there's still, you know, some danger out there. So, kind of interesting. But here at the Way, things are progressing on Sunday mornings, and it's great.
They are. It is. Yeah.
You know,
keeps moving forward, and so that's the right direction to move in.
Absolutely,
so
it feels so good.
It does. Yeah.
You know, there's
starting to feel more like normal. I guess you might say. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because, you know, I've never fancied myself as a hugger, although I hug a lot of people as a pastor because I think, you know, people want to hug, and I love to do that. It's not like, don't get me wrong, I just don't like crave a hug, you know, unless it's from Vicky, and then it's like, wow, that's a whole different thing. We don't want to go there. But the point is that in all this, I just, you know, there's a part of me that's craving it now.
Yeah.
Because I just, you know, you love people, and you know, you just somehow, some way, you want to interact with that, and
it's been a while since you've seen people, you know, and so new people are coming back all the time, and so you see people at church on Sunday, and it's like, oh, it's so good to see you, and so
and you're still, you know, you're still cautious, you're honoring of people,
absolutely.
You know, it's like, you know, you mentioned that you looked at somebody and you're like, you know, what do we do? You know, it's like, well, is it hugging okay? It's okay. Okay, so then you hug, but there's like that initial kind of, you know, what do you deem appropriate?
Right. You want to be respectful of where people are at and, but still,
there's a lot of people that are just like, you know,
not sure what to do. And
I'm not worried about this. I'm not living in denial, but I just, you know, I want to live in the meanwhile. And so it's just kind of an interesting thing. But so let's talk about Sunday.
Yeah.
So first thing we should talk about is just Robbie's commissioning.
Yes.
Which was a great, just a, you know, and I just want to,
great morning.
I just want to reiterate how, you know, I'm just so thrilled for Robbie and, you know, commissioned pastor, you're actually, I mean, right now you're going to seminary and all those things. And it's hard to add all that study on top of a normal schedule.
Yes, it adds a lot.
It does add a lot.
Yeah.
And what a relief for him and his family now that it's
exactly.
over.
Yeah, it's a whole family deal.
Yeah. but, you know, Robbie just did such a great job and he just, you know, he just buckled down and it was just great to see. And there is a, you know, pastor is a calling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, but as a pastor, you want to be equipped to do it properly. And, you know, he's gone through all that. And it was just wonderful to actually commission him. And he was ordained as an elder because in our polity, in our governance, in order to be a commissioned pastor, you first have to technically be an elder.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like a, so then now you're like an elder who's actually administering the sacraments and teaching the Word of God. And so you can minister a church. But it's just a great thing for him and his family, and it was so wonderful. People from the denomination were there, mm-hmm. and, you know, just being able to lay hands on him and bless him, and it's just exciting.
It is.
And for me, it's kind of like, you know, it's like having a baby. It's like, as a church,
the kids are growing up.
We've reproduced, and, you know, and so, you know, multiplication is this huge element of who Christ is and how the kingdom works.
Absolutely.
And so whenever people, you know, like when you're multiplying leaders or you're multiplying pastors or you know, kind of our next step is multiplying churches, mm-hmm. you know, but it's just, it's fun.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. You know, it's almost like an affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
So, exciting day. Robbie, if you happen to listen to this, you know, continued blessings on you, my friend.
Yeah.
And love you.
Congratulations.
Love you. Yeah, congratulations. Wow. So,
that's great.
That's good. I kind of jokingly said to him, okay, Robbie, now you can go do ministry.
Yeah, I know.
He's been doing it for years. Yeah, but now he's doing it as Pastor Robbie,
yes.
which is cool.
Yep.
So, again, kudos to him and congratulations to his family, because now you get a little bit more of him back.
Yes, that's right.
So, that's good. So,
that's good.
So, we tackled Ephesians chapter 2.
We did.
Which,
you
know,
quite the message.
Yeah,
it's good.
It started to occur to me that we're going to have all these
text.
We're going to have all these people that I hold in high regard,
yes,
theologically, that we're going to be there. And again, so Ephesians chapter 2 is such a foundational text,
mm-hmm.
Especially for those of us that, you know, that are heavy on the doctrine of grace.
Yes.
Because that's really the cornerstone for this idea of grace. I heard something that is interesting, and I'll get your take on the message itself, but I heard something actually this morning. I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about grace, and they said, so probably the way to look at grace, that a lot of Christians don't look at grace in such a way, but it's really the most healthy way to do it, is that grace is ultimately God giving himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's its favor. And so God is giving of himself. And then, you know, the tie-in they made is that, like, for the sacraments, you know, we call them a means of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that's like, so a means of grace is you putting yourself in a posture to receive God.
Mm-hmm.
So God wants to give of himself. That's grace. And then, but what you need to do is to receive that. And out of that relationship flows action.
Absolutely.
And that,
yeah, that's
and
a good
that's,
way.
Yeah, it was
good
really
way of thinking about it.
It was a great way to look at it. And I thought, as soon as I heard that, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I wish I'd heard that.
Could have used that on Sunday.
I wish I'd heard that like 3 days earlier. But, you know, it wasn't meant to be. But now I'm saying it. So,
yeah, that's good.
So let's hear your take on everything.
Yeah, no, it was a great message. So if I was gonna sum up the message, and as I've kind of been sitting in the scripture and all of that, the words that just come back are the whole, but God.
Yeah.
And so there's this picture on the front end of Ephesians 2 of our human condition and the nature that we're born with,
mm-hmm.
and how we're lost just because we're lost. Like,
right.
we there's nothing in ourselves that could find our way back to God. But
yes.
then in Ephesians 2, there's the verse, it's Ephesians 2, verse 4, that says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us new life when he raised Christ from the dead.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of that transition. And so it's like, this is who we were, but God in his mm-hmm. grace, because he loved us, this is what he's done for us.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and we've talked a lot before, too, just about that position versus condition.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of people wrestle with that, too, because positionally, then, when we come to faith in Christ, we're made right with God. And,
right.
you know, we've talked about in Ephesians all the spiritual blessings that God has bestowed upon believers, and how we really just need to know that and to step into that. But yet, conditionally, we struggle with it because we know our sin.
Right.
And so we think, how can that be true? Or this is what I've done. Or we have doubts. God could never love me because ... whatever mm-hmm. that might be. And so I think that it's understanding the difference between positionally where we're at with God and conditionally,
right.
and how God is moving and working through, but yet we have to step into that as well.
Absolutely. And you know, just on my own personal experience, is what hinders people from progression and moving forward is just this idea that, you know, so, you know, I think that in your mind, you make this decision to receive Christ, but then somehow, some way, you think you blew it, mm-hmm. and now it's like, okay, so I've just rendered that whole decision as ineffective,
right?
And somehow I've undermined the whole thing. And it's like, well, okay, so God made the decision first,
right?
And you made a decision out of what he had already done.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and the important thing about grace is it gives you room to maneuver.
It does.
Because you're going to make mistakes. Because you're like that little baby that can't hold his head up, right? Yep. So you've got to learn how to do that. You have to grow in Christ. You have to grow in that relationship with the Lord and get to know him more and more and more. And out of that, just, you know, you just gain strength, you gain all the, you know, you develop fruit,
mm-hmm.
and all those things. But I don't know. I mean, it's I don't want to say it's frustrating for me, because it's not frustrating. It's just, it's sad for me to see people that just get burdened by guilt and shame after they start walking with Christ. Now, conviction, yeah, that's good.
Right.
That's part of it. And conviction brings about repentance, which brings about transformation and change. But just people that are just like, man, you know, I just feel so, I can't do anything. I just, you know, I remember a story one time where, did I ever tell you that story about the kid, the dad who comes home and, oh no, he's leaving for work. And he says to his son, I got one thing I want you to do today. I want you to mow the lawn. And the son says, okay. Dad comes home from work. Son hasn't done that. Have you ever been there? And the dad comes home and he says, why didn't you mow the lawn? I told you to mow the lawn. And he goes, I need you to mow the lawn. Just go out there and do it. And a little bit later, the dad goes outside and the son is sitting on the steps crying. And dad goes, what are you doing? He goes, I just feel so terrible because I didn't mow the lawn. And dad's like, just go do it. You know, you're my son. I love you. It's not a deal breaker. Just get out there and do it. That's right. What I want you to do. I want you to go out there and do it. And then he goes back there like an hour later. The son is still sitting there crying. And the dad and he's like, listen, I get that you feel bad that you didn't do what I told you to do, but the way that you respond to that is now to go do it.
Right.
Not to sit there and feel bad and sorry for yourself. And oftentimes that's what happens with Christians, mm-hmm. is they think, oh, man, God must be so mad at me, and you know, he just doesn't want anything to do with me. It's like, no, he knew you before the beginning of time, and you were saved by grace through faith, not by works. Mm-hmm. And so what you need to do is just draw close to him, mm-hmm. and allow that to flow into obedience. But I think it is a tough thing, because we also have an enemy. We have spiritual powers that are trying to disrupt Stop. That. We have a remnant nature that still is. We have a fleshly nature that still is in the process of being transformed, and that goes back to that conditional piece. And so, it's freeing.
It is. The other piece that we kind of mentioned in the midst of that whole conversation was the idea of perseverance,
mm-hmm.
and how perseverance is one of the virtues that determines success.
Yes.
And so I think, too, it's that shifting of the mindset, mm-hmm. and knowing what God has done and what he's called you into. And just like you said, like, get up off the porch step and just go do it. And shifting that mindset and persevering through. So whether it's through the battle that's in your head, or whether it's persevering through challenging circumstances, or the mower won't start, or whatever that is, it's that perseverance piece.
I use the term learn to embrace the suck, which
yes, you did.
I was like, and I think everybody looked at me and I'm like, but so it's like this idea that, okay, right now this sucks, but mm-hmm. but good, because it's going to lead to something better. And so the worst thing you can do is allow this hard, challenging moment to get you to turn and give up.
Right.
The best thing you could do is use this hard, challenging moment to refine you and make you stronger.
Right.
And, you know, which is applicable to current circumstances, really. And so there you are. And, I mean, it's just grace frees you to slip and to stumble, but, you know, keep on trucking.
Keep on going.
Yeah.
Persevere.
Persevere.
Character building in the process.
Absolutely. What else you got from
So one of the other things that I had written down in my notes was that idea of the difference between faith and belief.
Yes.
In the midst of all of that. And you used the example of the tightrope walker across Niagara Falls. And, you know, he goes across with his wheelbarrow full of rocks. And, oh, yay, great job. And now who wants to get in that?
Yeah,
right?
Who wants to get in the wheelbarrow?
Yeah. So, yeah, we believe you can do it. But who's willing to actually get in the wheelbarrow to go across?
Yeah, who has the faith in his ability to do
it? Right, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's a big distinction.
It is. It's huge. And I think that's just such a good example of helping us see, because we can be like, oh, yeah, well, I believe that and I believe God can do that or whatever it is. Yeah. But it's like, okay, you know, we've defined before, too, that idea that faith is the inward conviction that leads to an outward action.
Right.
So it's like, is that inward belief going to lead to an action that's transformational?
Absolutely.
That, you know, changes things. And so what does that look like?
Right. And, you know, so the old expression, talk is cheap,
mm-hmm.
that flows out of that whole thing.
Yes.
It's like you can say whatever you want. I could use all kinds of cliches, and I've done it before. It's like, don't sing it, bring it.
Right.
It's like, put your money where your mouth is.
Yep.
All of these things, but it all speaks to the same thing. It's like, your actions prove
mm-hmm.
what you believe.
Yep.
Your words, that's fine. The words are good, but still, it's in all honesty, I always struggle with that. I struggle with people that say one thing and do another, mm-hmm. and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, do you know that there's a double standard here, or do you believe
right.
that you're actually
right.
doing, we talk about that in the journey class, right?
Yes.
You talk about your declared values mm-hmm. versus your
ideals.
Your ideals.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you want to get those things to connected.
Yeah.
So what your ideal values versus your declared values, you want them to be one and the same.
You do. And so part of in that process too, because I was just thinking about that as you were talking too, but part of that process is you sit down and you define your values, which is kind of more like defining your actions.
Right.
So instead of starting with, well, here's what I believe, and so here's how I should act, which we should think about it, but we should think about the reverse also.
Mm.
What do my actions show about what I believe?
Right.
And so you might find that you hold a value or that you're acting in a certain way that
is contrary.
Doesn't necessarily align up with what you feel like, well, this is what I believe, but this is contrary
right.
to how I'm acting.
Yeah.
And so then getting your values to come in line with your ideals is really your ideals line up with your beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find that there's a disconnect in that, but
yeah.
really you find that by looking at your actions.
Absolutely.
And looking at what does that look like? Like, yeah.
Yeah, somebody.
So your values, you might end up finding that you value something that you're like, ooh, I shouldn't value that as much as
right.
I do. And
right.
I need to realign that a little bit in
right.
my life.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's just one of those things. And, you know, somebody told me, and I heard another line years ago that said, integrity is what you do when no one's looking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yes.
And so you're trying, and it's not like, again, it's not like the day that you come to Christ, all of that should be.
No.
It's a process.
Right. Which goes back to it's like a child learning to walk.
Right.
And not saying, oh, why didn't you take 7 steps instead of 5? You know, you take your 5 and you're like, yeah, there's progress. And so it's seeing that in yourself, but seeing that in others also.
Right.
Yeah.
Not only are you a recipient of grace, but you should be giving grace.
Yes. Yep.
Because, you know, you should know the process you went through,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, that's kind of another thing too. So you're on this journey towards sanctification and you're so far into it, but then it's troubling to see somebody in that process that doesn't have the patience and grace and the mercy for somebody who's just starting
yep.
that journey.
Yep.
And maybe they came from a little further back than you did, or maybe they didn't. Maybe they were a little further ahead, but it just everybody's kind of at a different stage
mm-hmm.
of the process. Anything else there that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I think that sums it up. So
okay, well,
that's a good sum up.
All right, well, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to the second half of chapter 2
yeah.
this Sunday. So stay tuned for that. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with our theology statement. Meanwhile, enjoy this song that we sang on Sunday morning, Graves into Gardens. We'll be right back.
searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Melt empty praise and treasures of fame.
And we're back.
We're back.
We are moving into our theology statement, our segment and statement.
Statement. You're going to make a statement about this.
Yeah. Now we're moving into our theology segment, and we're talking about the clarity of Scripture.
Yeah, so we've been in the doctrine of the Word of God for a while and looking at some of the different characteristics of Scripture, and today we're landing on the clarity of Scripture.
The clarity of Scripture. Yeah. So what, do you have a definition there?
Of course
there?
I have a definition.
I know you do.
Yes, of course.
Why don't you give us the definition to set the tone for the rest of it?
Sure. So Grudem defines the clarity of Scripture as the idea that the Bible is written in such a way that its teachings are able to be understood by all who read it, seeking God's help and being willing to follow it.
Yeah. So it kind of brings up this idea. So everything for salvation is easily understood in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like, in matter of fact, I mean, it's even the distinction is drawn that it's almost like the wise men think it's foolishness.
Yes.
Because it's so simple.
Right.
And so some people are like, no, it's so complex and it's so, and granted, there are deep truths within Scripture.
Absolutely.
But there is, but part of your default position is that you know, there are certain things in the Scripture which are very, very easy and very clearly defined, and that's kind of a great place to start as you kind of begin your Bible study. And I know, you know, you could take anything and like turn it into complexity, right? It's like, well, you know, is that, you know, when it says go into all the world, what is exactly meant by go? And so we, you know, let's do the
or should we stay?
What does it mean to go? Does that mean, you know,
right,
literally? Does it, you know, and you can dissect it and you can confuse it and you can muddy the water on just about anything.
Right.
And maybe there are some places that it's challenging to kind of say, okay, what is the true meaning of this? And as we progress in our knowledge of language and our accessibility to commentaries and to historical things, we gain some kind of updated and insights on it that are good. But for the most part, the meaning of Scripture has been easily understood and things like that. So what's not easy to do is to necessarily, you know, apply it and you know, and what is this, what are the unique circumstances in which a certain thing was said?
Yes.
And, you know, is it still applicable or has it been fulfilled?
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. And so some of those are challenging. Some of the prophecies is like, well, has that already happened? Has it not happened? And some of those things are a little challenging, but for the most part, so much of the Scripture is just so easily understood and you can find salvation in it. And it's not some deep mystery.
Right. Yeah.
So that's really good. I think that it should also be stated that I think that probably the challenge to the clarity of Scripture ultimately is us.
Yes.
I mean, so
yeah. Yeah. So one of the questions as I was looking through it too was just that idea of you know, if Scripture is clear, then why are there so many different interpretations? And
right.
Why are there different doctrines or different ways of practicing that come out of Scripture where both sides might say, well, this is based on Scripture. And
right.
So how does that happen? But when you look at it, it's that we have to acknowledge that we've maybe misinterpreted it or something like that, but that it's never a problem with Scripture.
Right.
It's a problem with us.
With us.
Yes.
Absolutely. We are the fallible side of the whole process and we can make mistakes. And, you know, you also have human nature, which says that some people place a higher emphasis on certain things than others.
Yes.
And maybe they all congregate together and say, well, we need to make this a huge priority. And it's like, well, you know, maybe people don't feel, maybe they feel like it's more kind of spread out, you know, and things like that. Like, for example, some people at one point in time thought baptism was this massive, in particular, credo baptism.
Yes.
They thought it was this massive doctrine.
They were killing people about it.
Yeah. And that divided the church.
Right.
And it's like, you know, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
We get separated over a specific thing, but, you know, really we're united by the fullness of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk for a minute as we kind of clarify this and kind of help people to understand ultimately what we're talking about, let's talk, how do you interpret Scripture? So what is the approach? Now, the word for that is hermeneutics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could tell you the things that you should do, but why don't you talk, so you, why don't you tell everybody when you preach or you're going to be teaching on Scripture, what is your process? And I'll talk about mine too. And I think they're pretty much the same, but.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say one of the first things that I do is when I know what that Scripture is that I'm going to be preaching on, then I just sit down with it. And mm-hmm. I just sit down with it in prayer and just kind of see what the Holy Spirit lifts in that
yeah.
and see what comes and see what the Holy Spirit kind of shows me or you know, sometimes too, last week we mentioned those cross-reference texts. And so sometimes I'll go those places in Scripture too. But really just kind of that initial sitting down with it and seeing what bubbles up from
right.
this.
You really need the Holy Spirit to begin your interpretation of Scripture. You need to rely on the Holy Spirit just to lead you through it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and I think too that you can have the same piece of Scripture, but there's maybe a piece of it that the Holy Spirit is wanting to kind of bring out for
right.
a certain message. And so that might be a place then for that message where you land a little bit more than mm-hmm. if you were to speak on it at a different point in time. And so I think that's important too, because that's the piece of the Holy Spirit is going to help apply it to where people are at and what people
right.
need in the moment. So,
yeah.
but then from there, you know, I read a lot of commentary and a lot of, listen to other messages, on that Scripture and just really dig into it. And honestly, for me, I'm a pretty thorough person anyway. And so I really dig into it to the point where I feel like there's nothing in the reading that I'm doing that I haven't already read somewhere.
Right.
And so for me, I get to that point where I'm like, okay, I think I've got it. Like, I think, mm-hmm. you know, I've kind of sifted through what there is to sift through. And then I just kind of start to come back and start to put that message back together and really just going
yeah.
verse by verse. And what are those themes that are coming out? And then how does that tie in? And,
right.
you know, what does that transition look like? And the piece too that I feel like I've been praying through more recently, especially, is just, you know, what are those word pictures and what are those analogies? And,
yeah.
and those are always things that I've thought of, but I feel like more recently too, it's just been more intentional about that, I guess. But
yeah.
because those are the pieces too that I think help people see this is what Scripture says, but this is kind of how it's applied or
yeah.
what that looks like, or, you know, kind of helps you understand it in maybe a little different way.
Right. And just to clarify, so here's what we don't do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't say, hey, I think this week I'm going to preach on baptism.
Yes.
And then I go and I round up all the Scriptures on baptism. And then so I don't start with an objective.
Mm-hmm, or with
right?
a topic.
With a topic.
Yeah.
And that's important to understand because our whole philosophy is that we want to tell you what Scripture says.
Right.
We don't want to tell you what to do. And here's what Scripture says about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a massive difference. So
that can move into a manipulative place.
Well,
almost,
right,
if,
and so your prompting and your equipping comes from the Word of God. It doesn't come from people,
right?
And that's really important. So you got hermeneutics, and then you got exegesis.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to break down my week, here's typically what it looks like. So hermeneutics is the interpretation of the Scripture. And like you, the Holy Spirit's got to initiate
mm-hmm.
this. And then I'll listen to it. And you, just like you, there's these ideas that come up. And then I will start reading commentary. One of the nice things, too, is that there's also there's the context,
mm-hmm.
like the cultural context. So oftentimes Jesus will say something, and it's like, okay, so what's the cultural context for that?
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the letters from Paul, what's the cultural context for that? And then from there, you start thinking, all right, so exegesis is when you say, how am I going to explain this?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to teach people what this says? And how do I make it relevant
yep.
to people when they're listening? And so really, throughout the week is my hermeneutics, and then really Saturday is my exegesis as I start thinking about that. That's when, so if I gave the message on a Friday, it'd probably be 4 hours long.
Yeah, a little more all over the place.
And everybody would be falling asleep and, you know, all that stuff. But then usually, so then on Saturday, my job is to kind of bring it in, start to hone it in, and then figure out, all right, so how do I present this, explain it, so that people can actually, like, you know, make it applicable to their lives.
Right.
You know, because it's not about me and how it's applicable to my life. It's about the Holy Spirit and how it's applicable to all of our lives.
Yep.
So there's always that challenge in there. And I think that's one of the things about Scripture, too, that, you know, the Bible reads you. It's not about you reading it to others, per se. I mean, if you want to teach it to people, that's fine. But it's... Some people will take Scripture, and again, we go back to that, what we said earlier, they have an agenda.
Right.
Right? You know, so one of my, it's kind of funny, I always get chuckles in premarital counseling. So Ephesians chapter 5, which we will get to, where it has instructions for husbands and wives. I tell the husband, never read the wife's instructions to her.
Right.
And wives, never read your husband's instructions to them. You need to go back. You need to go off in your corners or whatever it is, your prayer closet, and read your own instructions. Right?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, because, you know, I mean, you could say to your wife, the husband is the head of the wife, and the wife should submit to him and everything, and then she should turn to him, oh, yeah, well, Christ, you should love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave up his life. And he got this, you got this, you know, this argument that it's not good, but I should go back and I should remind myself that I am. Mm-hmm. I am to give up my life for my wife. Yep. I'm to love her as my own body, and I'm to love her as Christ loved the church, and that's what I'm called to do.
Right.
And so that's how you interpret Scripture. And I heard another person say, when you listen to a sermon, don't listen with your elbows, which that means that, like, you're always poking the person next to you and say, did you hear that? Did you get that?
You need this.
Or you're sitting there listening and it's like, oh, I wish so-and-so was here to hear that. It's like, no, you're here to hear it.
Right.
It's for you. Yep. And that's, you need to make it deeply personal.
How's it gonna be transformational for you?
Transformational for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the clarity of Scripture, is that it just has this power to meet you where you're at and help equip you and to help, you know, transform you.
Yep.
For God's work.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's good.
It's good. It
awesome.
Is good. Yes.
Well, cool. Well, we're gonna take another break, and then we'll be back with our special guest after this. But before that, here's King of My Heart. We'll be right back.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good. You're never gonna let me down.
You're never gonna let me down. And when the night is holding on to me, God is holding on. And when the night is holding on to me, God is holding on.
Welcome back.
We're back.
And we are joined in the studio with our special guest today, Sarah Guthrie.
Welcome.
Sarah.
Thank you.
So glad that you're here. I was actually thinking, I was like, okay, so sometimes I like to kind of reel down all the things that, people do. And as I started to compile your list, it's pretty extensive.
It is.
So, you and your husband, Jeff, and you guys are just such a, you're just so involved and a lot of leadership things. So you serve in a lot of places of leadership in the church, and it's been great to just see that develop and how you're blessing the people of the way. So as we bring people in here and we sit them down and we talk to them, we like to talk about their story,
sure,
about how God. So here you are. So if people can look at you and say, wow. You know, she's such a good leader, and she serves in all these places, and she's probably been following Jesus for forever. She probably, since the day she was born, and there's always a story. Everybody has a story, and so I'd love to hear your story. So tell us how, just kind of give us the synopsis. How did you get to where you are today?
Sure. Just want to start off by saying thank you guys for having me on today.
Thanks for
it's
coming.
It's our pleasure,
I did not grow up going to church. I have an amazing, loving family, but that's just something we never did on Sundays was attend church. I would occasionally go, with friends to Awana's on Wednesday nights or Christmas Eve services with, extended family, but that was the extent of it.
I started dating Jeff in my senior year of high school, and it was really his family that introduced me to Christ. So I, on a Sunday afternoon, they had their pastor come over, and we were sitting in the basement of their house. I was 19 years old, and I accepted Christ into my life.
Oh.
So, so yeah, they really introduced me to Christ, and after that, I didn't really know what that meant or where to go from there. Mm-hmm. I graduated high school. I went off to college. After I graduated college, I moved back home. Jeff and I got married and, had our first child. And, it was when Kaylee was probably one or so. Jeff and I her foundation needed to start somewhere, and that was going to be with us. We want her to grow up knowing Christ, and we decided it obviously starts with us, so we need to take that first step. What are we going to do? So to back up a little bit on that, John and Kim had invited us to church, and we would occasionally go with them. Also, along with Trisha and Aaron Groves, kind of kept shoulder tapping us and nudging us, and we came to a few services here before it became the way. And nothing really just connected with us. We had to come occasionally, but never consistently, only a couple of times. But there was one Saturday, we had a baby shower for a friend, and so we were
I remember that.
Yeah, so 9 or 10 years ago, probably, we had a baby shower here at the church for a friend, and we were either setting up or cleaning up. I don't remember what the case was, but you come walking downstairs, and you're like, "Hey, guys, how's it going?" Jumped up on the counter and sat and had a conversation with us, and I was like, "Who is this guy?" Like,
that's our pastor.
Yeah, I was like, "He seems like a likable guy." Yeah. So I remember going home and telling Jeff, "I think we should try it again." And so the way had just started. And so we came that next Sunday morning, the day after. And I don't know if we've missed many Sundays since then.
Yeah, the rest is history.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Good. So, yeah, it has been good. It's been quite the ride. So, yeah, we got Kaylee, you know, plugged into the children's ministry. And not long after we started, I think maybe Marcy, you may have even shoulder tapped me and said, "Would you want to lead children's ministry, a group?" And I'm like, I'm not qualified. Isn't that what we usually say? I'm not qualified. But I prayed about it and accepted it. And honestly, those Sundays, like, I was learning right along with those kids because it was all new to me at this point. So a lot of the Bible studies that I was teaching, I would have to read them and teach them. And so I was learning right along with those kiddos. Mm-hmm. But it's something that blessed me tremendously. And I still to this day help with children's ministry, and they are a huge blessing to me. So,
yeah.
Well,
that's awesome. Great. That's great. And so one of the reasons why we started doing the guest segments, and I think it's important to always communicate this, I've been there, and my perception of leaders, they got it all together, and they've always been this way, and it's like, you know, so what you oftentimes have with people that are serving in positions of leadership is just a willingness, and there is something about being in that process that actually does equip you,
and it
grows you with the Lord, and so. You know, if there's one takeaway from this, perhaps it's that, you know, don't disqualify yourself, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that if there's one culture we want to really convey here at The Way is just that culture of grace.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you don't have to have all the answers. You just have to have a willing heart that's looking for them or seeking them, and that's a big part of it. I remember that day when you were I guess I could have not done that. I could have not gone downstairs, but I just, you know, it was kind of at that stage where, you know, there's a part of me, it's like, well, I don't want to interrupt their baby shower, you know, and I don't want to, but at the same time, I'm just excited to meet people.
Yeah.
And, and do all those things.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Well, I am too. I'm thrilled, yeah. And it's just been awesome to see mm-hmm. you guys. Now, one thing that I guess I kind of wanted to ask you, and you know, you can opt out of this answering this question, but what do you feel like you've kind of learned over the last 4 months? Mm-hmm. You know, as you kind of, you know, so here we are. We're in this unprecedented place. Mm-hmm. I know that you've had some personal experience with COVID and things like that. And so what's your assessment?
Yeah.
So about four months into it, what's your takeaway and what's God doing?
Yeah, yeah. So Jeff and I both have continued to work full time outside the home. Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff. So between the homeschooling, our kiddos, so working outside the home full time and then coming home in the evenings and doing homeschooling, our days were long.
Yeah.
Our days were definitely long, but we made it. Yeah. We've had some amazing grandparents that have stepped in and helped out. And I was affected, not me personally, but my family was affected by COVID. Down in Arizona, they winter there for the winter time, and we had some family members that got sick, and some family members that had to step in and care for them. Mm-hmm. So, prayer, lots and lots of prayer over these last few months, just to keep everybody healthy and they've made it back to Iowa, so we're thankful for that. Just our immediate family of how our togetherness in these last few months has just grown. Mm. Just being more still, more quiet. Mm-hmm. We live out in the country, and it's just like we've kind of had to take a step back to realize, like, sitting outside and just soaking in God's nature and just having that quiet time as families and going on bike rides and just taking day by day and just being thankful for our health and everything that God's provided for us. And it's just been great. So hard times, but we've gotten through it and it's been good.
It's awesome. And I also remember talking with you guys as you were prayerfully considering whether or not you should go down to Arizona.
Yeah, and exactly.
It was like, okay. And then when I heard, of course, obviously, as a church, we are praying for your family too, and when they got diagnosed, and your family members are older,
yeah, they are,
and they were kind of in that really vulnerable high risk zone, and we praise the Lord that they came out okay. Yeah. But I was just thinking, you guys could have been quarantined down there for a month or so, but it's quite the the chain of events, but. Yeah, it's interesting. It is amazing how in the midst of what appears to be just a rotten, terrible situation, I do think that it is possible to see blessings in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And, the lack of distractions is a blessing.
Yes, it is.
And for some people at first, it's almost a little bit maddening, to be in this house. But then you kind of settle into it. Mm-hmm. And then you actually start to find, you start to, who knows, maybe even hear the voice of God more, or maybe see the things that He's doing around you.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you picked up on that, and that was something that you saw, because I believe truly that's what, God is giving us an opportunity to really just go to that next level in relationship with Him, because a lot of the things that have, taken away our affections are really, have been gone.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see, as they're systematically kind of reincorporated or restarted, do we immediately go back, or do we kind of, maintain this balance of activity versus, I guess you could say intimacy with the Lord.
Yeah.
So that's good stuff. You have anything you want to throw
in
there?
Well, I would just say how much I appreciate you and Jeff, and it's just been fun to watch you grow over the last few years, and even how you mentioned stepping into children's ministry and not necessarily feeling qualified, but I think that your story in that is so powerful and so relatable, and I think that people can easily dismiss that other people are going through that too. And I'm like, no, this is one of the things that I love about things like children's ministry, is that you can come in and you can volunteer and you are learning and growing just as much as the kids are. And I think that that's powerful. And so, but then, you know, for you too, and just the way that you've embraced other discipleship classes and just taken that next obedient step as to what God's calling you to do. And this past ministry year, you led the journey with Julie Jones and just, you know, the way that you were able to connect with your group and just build that fellowship with your group too is just so awesome to see. And so, so it's God's doing a lot through you and Jeff. And it's just, it's awesome to see how he's using you and how you're just so obediently stepping into that. So, and the other thing I would say too is just the way that you have walked alongside and have mentored so many people. Like, I'm getting emotional, but the way that you walk alongside and just have mentored so many people. And I just think that that has been such a powerful thing in so many people's lives as well. And so when hard times hit, like in the last 4 months or whatever that might be, like, there's just that connection that you have with people. And I think that's just so good. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. And I just can't, I can't emphasize that, all those points enough. So I would just urge you, you both, you and Jeff, it's funny, and you guys are partners in it. And it's great to see. And, you know, just keep on, you know, keep your hands on the plow and keep moving forward in obedience to the Lord. I will always remember, and who knows, maybe, I don't know if I'll be here in ministry long enough to ever marry your daughters someday. Maybe not. I mean, who knows? Only God knows. But I always remember terrifying your daughters in a 4th of July parade when I was the Hulk. They wouldn't even look at me for like months afterwards.
Who is that guy?
I think I finally won them back after years of, but it was just hilarious. They're the sweetest girls. Oh, they're just so, they're so delightful, and but it broke my heart to kind of scare them like that.
I think they've maybe prayed through that and gotten past that now.
That's funny.
But yeah, it's been great to, I mean, Jeff's a great leader of our family, and it's just been awesome to just walk with him and get to experience this together with him. So, and my girls are great.
They are. I would urge people, you know, I just want people to hear that, you know, you just got to be willing to kind of take those steps. You know, if you feel like you're not qualified to do it, welcome to the club. I mean, if you feel like you're qualified, then it's like, well, then you're not. So there has to be this inadequacy that you feel, but then that, all that does is just require dependence on the Lord. And so, but you got to just have that ability. And the more you do that, the more you grow, the stronger you get, and you know, and things just begin to happen. So. Just want to really urge people to take that away from all this if they can. So thank you. Thank you so much for coming. And I really appreciate it. And God bless you. And you survived. You made it. You did it. I always get a kick. Every guest is like, oh, you know, I don't know what I'm going to say. And is there anything else that you wanted to say?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I just, we were talking about kind of some list of things that we've been involved in. It's just like, I was obviously nervous this morning and kind of like, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? And going through the list of stuff, I kind of went through that sense of nervousness to a sense of like gratitude.
Like
I've been blessed. Like he has given me so many opportunities. It's been great. So I kind of like went from that nervousness to thankfulness. Like, thank you, God, for allowing me to do this. So
that's awesome.
Absolutely. So well, that's awesome. Well, so great. Good. Well, so glad you joined us, and you have a blessed rest of your day. You can stick around for announcements segment if you want to. We love you too. We're going to take a break and enjoy this song. It's called Resurrecting.
Crowned with glory now, The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise Christ our King. The fear that held us now gives way to him who is our peace. His final breath now alive in me. And your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory.
Come on.
The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit
your name is victory.
And we're back. Time for announcements. Take it away, Marcy.
Yeah. So this coming Saturday, we have an ARC event. So we are giving out diapers, wipes, and encouraging words. So
yeah, it's a drive-through event.
It is. It is a drive-through event, so you can drive through and let them know what size you need. And we'll
place your order, and they'll bring it out to you.
Yeah, so from 9 to noon. And so if you know of anybody who would be interested and would benefit from that, please let them know. We'd love to have people come out and be blessed by that event.
Definitely.
So, yeah, so that is this Saturday.
Yeah.
So the next thing is Sunday services. So this Sunday, we have just kind of some new things happening and just some other things going on as well. So services are at 9 and 11 again, and wanting people to know that during the 9 o'clock service, we are going to have a prayer station in the nursery. So there'll be the prayer team will be available in the nursery. The prayer team's on one side of the counter, and if you want to come in and receive prayer, they'll pray for you in there, kind of over the counter. And then during the 11 o'clock service, the prayer team will be in the worship center. So they're going to have some stations set up in the worship center where people can receive prayer. Also during the 11 o'clock service, the nursery is going to be open this week. So, yes, so that is a change. And with that, since this is the podcast and I have a little extra time, I'm going to read some of the nursery guidelines. So,
Rock on.
You know Alicia Bean, Alicia Bean is our early childhood coordinator here at The Way, and she is just amazing. She works a lot with early childhood kids, and she has been in contact with the people for, you know, daycare centers and just procedures with all of that. And so she has taken the procedures of what daycare centers are doing in the area and is applying those to our reopening of our nursery. So things to let parents know is that the nursery will be available at the 11 o'clock. And some of the things that we're going to be doing with that is all children and volunteers' temperatures will be taken with a no-touch thermometer before entrance. So their temperature needs to be below 100. If it's above 100, then they'll be sent home. So we will be taking temperatures when kids come in and are dropped off, and volunteers as well. Volunteers will take the children, and as soon as they get there and get dropped off, they're going to go wash their hands, and they're going to sanitize between each child as they come into the nursery. And then the hands will be washed again once all the children in the nursery before playing with kids. So volunteers are going to just make sure hand washing is a priority there as well. And then we're limiting it to 10, so we'll have two adults, which is our standard procedure. So we'll have eight children. We'll have room for eight kids in the nursery this week, and we'll kind of watch and see what numbers do and go from there. We aren't going to open the overflow nursery yet, just from a volunteer standpoint. We're going to see how it goes with eight and see where we're at with that and kind of work from there. So parents will drop off their kids at the counter. Parents won't be able to go behind the counter in that area. So they'll hand their child off to a volunteer who will then help get them acclimated to the nursery area and that kind of thing. So the nursery will be sanitized after each use and with a bleach solution that we've already been using. And everything in there will get sprayed down. The keyboard for check-in, we've got a plastic covering to put over that we're going to wipe down between each use and then wipe down the countertops as well. So just wanted to let people know that we're opening the nursery again. We are going to have that available. We have people who have volunteered to be in the nursery, but I wanted to let people know just about some of those procedures and things that we're going to be doing in all of that that will look different than what it was before. So it's not like we're opening it and going back to the way it was. We have some different procedures in place because of everything going on. So just wanted people to be aware of that. And also kind of switching gears here, but on Sunday, we're going to be voting for new consistory members.
Yeah.
And so we are looking for, I believe, four elders and six deacons. Is that right? Six deacons?
I believe that's right.
Yeah, we think that's right. Whatever it says on the ballot, that's how many you need to mark.
That's right.
That's right. Go with that. But that is going to be available from 8 a.m. until 12:30. And so people, if you are a member, the members can come in and vote. And so that'll be set up and available on Sunday, and we'll check your name off the list. And if for some reason you can't make it on Sunday, you can call the office and you can fill out an absentee vote throughout the week by stopping in at the office at this point. So that's also available. Yeah.
So we'll just reiterate with everybody also that we're still registration for the 9 o'clock, open for the 11.
Yep.
I would just say too, if you haven't already received a phone call, we are kind of tracking down our members because we want to know your thoughts.
Yes.
You know, what do you want? Do you want a more restricted service or do you want a more open service? And, you know, we're kind of thinking about what do we do with the 9 o'clock or, you know, what's our next, as we continue to kind of progress, what's our next step?
Exactly.
And so we, you know, at this point we need to know what people want. And you know, even we even kicked around the idea of having a registration service on Saturday night and then having Sunday mornings open. The problem is you can't go an open service and then a restricted service. Because part of what we want to do with the restricted service is make sure that nobody sits in a seat that anybody has previously sat in.
Right, even though we do clean between, we'll continue to.
That's right, we clean in between, but that's the whole thing is that, you know, we've kind of, you know, so one of the reasons why we had people register is so that we could, for both services, so we could spread everybody out. And, but then we kind of listened to the congregation and a lot of people said they just wanted to be able to regulate themselves and make their own decisions. We're like, okay, so we did that for the 11 and it's been going really well.
Yeah.
You know, and I just kudos to everybody that's been coming, but we just want to make sure that if there's any concerns or, you know, people that want to re-engage in Sunday morning worship, what would be the best scenario for you? So don't be afraid to let us know that. I'd be happy to talk about that. If you are a member or you're what we've classified as a frequent attender, we'll be contacting you if we haven't already.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, just kind of, you know, catching up and, you know, making sure that everybody's doing okay, but then also just kind of like, well, what are your thoughts?
Yeah.
And things like that. And I would tell you too, I would also just tell, because I think that people are feeling like they're hesitant to let us know that they don't feel safe yet to return. And I just want to let people know it's okay if you say that.
Right.
What isn't good is if you say, well, this is what I want to return. And then those are actions we take. And then you don't return.
Right.
Just say, you know what? I just feel like right now, you know, maybe I have some health concerns or something within my family, or I just feel like on a personal level, it's not yet time for us to reengage. That is a perfectly okay,
absolutely
answer.
Yep, absolutely.
But you know, if you say to us, "Well, we're not going to come back till the 9 o'clock is open," it's like okay. And then when the 9 o'clock is open, and you know, or whatever we do, just give us an honest assessment, and everything's okay. There's no judgment as far as where people stand. We're just trying to meet the needs of our congregation.
Yeah. Well, and in that also, I would say we also want to help people be informed. And
right.
So you know, if just knowing where people are at, and if you're like just in a place where you maybe don't feel like you can reengage yet, then that's okay, but we want to make sure that you know that the 9 o'clock has more of those restrictions in place, and the 11 o'clock is more of that open service. We've posted the CDC recommendations, and people self-regulate, but helping you maybe make a decision. So if you have family members that you're caring for or underlying health conditions, then maybe the 9 o'clock service would be a better place to reengage. But that's just feedback. We want to hear people's feedback, but we also want to help people know the difference and be informed in that way as well.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And I would also add too, in the event that somebody comes in that is infected with COVID, we would be letting people know. So if people are sitting there wondering, well, I wonder, you know, so since we've reopened, we've not heard anything. So far, so good. And I think it's somewhat inevitable that eventually somebody will come in here that's asymptomatic and they don't even know.
Right. And they find out later.
And we will let people know, and we will pass that on. But a big part of what's driving everything that we're doing is that, you know, we feel like in the name of the Lord, we have to learn how to live with this. To some degree, and it doesn't look the same for everybody.
Right.
But you know, for a lot of people, they need to worship, they need to get together, and so that's what we're doing. And just you know, everybody, like you, I love what you said, you know, now is the time to be informed and mm-hmm. and to prayerfully make decisions. And,
yeah.
And that's absolutely. Fine.
Yeah.
So.
Very good.
Good.
So, yeah, that's all coming up this weekend. The other one thing that I will mention is that with Children and Family Ministry, so we didn't get to do the summer camp at The Way, which would have been last week, I believe. And so, actually, Jesse has looked into partnering with Lakeview Camps, and Lakeview Camps is not able to do their overnight camps like they usually do. And so they're offering daytime options where you just come out and come to Lakeview Camp, and they'll have crafts and activities and basically a camp experience. I think they'll have canoeing and kayaking and fishing and some of those types of outdoor things as well. And so Jesse is working on organizing a day that that kids from The Way and some volunteers can go out there and get connected with Lakeview and still have kind of a day at camp, even though it looks a little different this year. So if you are interested in that, you can call the office for more information, and we would love to get you connected.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, so
yeah, I'm sure coming that, up. I'm sure that parents could use some relief.
A whole day.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would be...
A whole day of fun for your kids.
Woohoo! I might take vacation that day.
That's right. It's good.
And just remember, you know, I mean, obviously there's... You need breaks.
Yes.
Breaks are good.
Yep.
And so that's a nice thing, and you know, and then a break where your kids get loved, and they get to do lots of fun stuff.
Yeah,
It's win win.
It is. Yeah. Yes. Yep.
So
yeah, so
it's a good opportunity.
It's good.
Glad to hear that. I also heard that maybe one day next month, everybody could just send their kids over to your house.
Hey, why not?
Is that
sure?
No, I'm just kidding.
I'll put them to work.
Now, I should say that Marcy may not be home that day, but you know,
doing landscaping. So, how do your children feel about moving landscaping?
If you
bricks?
Can give them a little, like if you have like a little beach shovel that they can come over and Marcy will put them to work.
That's right. It'll be good.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, cool. Well, thank you. We appreciate another podcast. You know, we've done it in the books, and appreciate to everybody that tuned in and stuck with us, and we look forward to the next one. Until then, God bless you, and we hope to see you this weekend.
Have a great week.
Have a great week.
You call me out of darkness, and you silence it. And no other voice will define me, 'cause I belong to you, I belong to you. By your blood I've been adopted, and I've taken on your name, and I need to be reminded that I belong to you, I belong to you. And the enemy can't take what I have or change who I am. I belong to you. No, the enemy can't take what I have or change who I am. I belong to you. Yes, I belong to you. And by your blood I've been adopted, I have taken on your name, and I need to be reminded that I belong to you. Yes, I belong to you. I belong to you, yeah. No, the enemy can't.
or change who